We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 10th chapter, the 6th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing how Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, is the staff of God's anger. They are going to come, and the havoc that they will wreak is, in effect, it is God's anger that is destroying the land of Israel. And now the Navi will describe what God wants the Assyrian Empire to do. The Navi says, Begoi chaneif ashalechenu ve'alam evrati atzavehenu. Against a nation of sycophants, goi chaneif, they're a nation that appease their desires, their seeking their materialistic desires, and so they are am evrati, the nation against whom I have anger. Atzavenu, I will command the Assyrian Empire against this nation. He's speaking about the people of Israel. They are the nation of sycophants. They are the nation who God has anger against. Lishlol shalal vilavoz baz. Their responsibility will be to loot, to plunder. Ursilmo milmas kechomel chutzot. Their job will be to trample and bring Israel down like the dust that's outside in the marketplace, that everyone just steps on it. But Sanherib, the Syrian king, he doesn't realize that it's me who has sent him. That's not what he thinks in his heart. Ki leashmid bilvavo, but rather he thinks I want to destroy everything. He doesn't realize that I've only sent them against the northern tribes. He thinks, let me destroy everything. If I'm so mighty that I can destroy the northern 10 tribes, I should also be able to destroy the southern 2 tribes. I should be able to destroy Jerusalem as well. So he will think, ki leashmid bilvavo, in his heart he thinks, let me destroy everything. He thinks it's because he's so powerful that he is successful against Israel. Ulachit goyim lo me'at. And he thinks, let me destroy everything, the 2 nations, the northern tribes, the southern tribes, and lo me'at, I don't want to leave even a small remnant behind. That's what the Assyrian emperor, that's what Sanherib thinks. Ki yomar, because what he says to himself is, Halo sarai yachdav milachim. He says, I have so many people under each general, that each general should be considered a king. Halo sarai yachdav. Every one of my generals is milachim, is really a king, because he's in charge of so many people. Halo kechal kemish kalno. He thinks, just as I conquered the city of Chalkemish, that's how I conquered the city of Kalno. Im lo chealpad chamat. He says to himself, wasn't it the same when I conquered Arpad, which was the ruling city of Hamat, and didn't I conquer that? Imloche Damasik Shomeron. And just as I conquered Damascus, so too, he assumes, I will conquer Samaria, I will conquer Shomron. Kasheo Matzea Yadi Lemamlechot Ha'elil. He thinks to himself, just like my might conquered for me all these nations that were pagans, and none of the pagan gods could stand up to me. Ufsi leyem mirushalayim umishomeron. Now here there are 2 meanings to this pasuk. One understanding is, he says to himself, their gods, their idols, were more potent than the gods of Jerusalem and Samaria. So certainly I should be able to overtake Jerusalem and Samaria. So that's the simple reading of the pasuk, that Sanherib says, if I was able to conquer all these people, certainly I should be able to conquer Samaria and Shomron, Samaria and Jerusalem. But Chazal give us another interpretation here. Chazal tell us that Sanherib says, who's the big exporter of idols? Who's the great manufacturer of idols? Samaria and Jerusalem. And if all these people that worship the idols produced in Samaria and Jerusalem, if I was able to conquer them, so certainly I should be able to conquer Samaria and Jerusalem. So here we see a terrible insight. Chazal tell us that we were the producers of idols. We weren't. It wasn't only that the Jewish people were sinning in the time of the first temple, they were actually producing and selling idols to the nations all around. Hallo kasher asiti leshomeron velelileha. After he conquers Samaria, Sancheriv will say, just as I wiped out Samaria and their idols, Kein esel Yerushalayim ve'la'atzabeha. He assumes by the same token, I will take down Jerusalem and its idols. Ve'haya ki yivatza Adonai et kol ma'aseyu be'har Tzion uv'Yerushalayim. But, says Hashem, when I finish my plan with Sancheriv by Mount Zion and Jerusalem, Efkod al perigodel levav melech Ashur, then I will take the king of the Assyrian Empire to task over his haughtiness, over his arrogance. I will take him to task over his haughty eyes, the way he assumes he could take down my city, Jerusalem, just as he took down all the pagan cities. Ki amar, because he assumes, Bechoach yadi asiti, everything I've done is my own might. He takes all the credit. Uvechochmati ki nevunoti, he says it's all because I'm so smart. That's why I conquered all these nations. Remember, the Navi began by saying, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api. Woe the Assyrian Empire who has used my anger as their staff. I was angry at these nations. That's why the Assyrian Empire was successful in taking them down. And so Hashem says, when the time comes that the Assyrian Empire will descend on Jerusalem, ascend to Jerusalem, then I will teach them a lesson. He assumes it's all his might and his brilliance. Vasil Givulot Amim Vatudotehem Shoseiti Veorid Kabil Yoshevim. The Assyrian Emperor Sancheriv says, I conquered all these nations, I've removed borders between nations because they're all mine. So there's no distinction between countries anymore. Vatudotehem Shoseiti, I plundered all their storage houses. I was able to go into all their treasuries, take out anything I wanted. Vorid kabil yoshvim. And with my might, I was able to take down even people living in great fortified cities. I took them all down. We'll learn one more pasuk, and then we have to come back to this pasuk, because this pasuk has tremendous halachic relevance. Vatimtza hakein yadi lechel ha'amim. Sancheriv says, I conquered nations as though I was plucking birds out of a nest. V'cheesof meitzim azuvot. It was like collecting eggs that were left by their mother. That's how easy it was for me to conquer the nations. Kol ha'aretz ani asafti. I conquered, I gathered all the peoples of the land. Velo haya nodet kanaf ufotzefe umtzafzef. And there was no one to flap their wings against me. There was no one to chirp against me. He's continuing the metaphor, just like when you're coming to a nest and the mother bird isn't there. You could just take the babies and you could take the eggs. So too, I was able to take all the peoples of earth and do what I pleased with them. Now, we have to understand the might and the impact of Sancheriv. Sancheriv had a system. Whatever country Sancheriv conquered, he would exile them. And the system was a brilliant system because by exiling them, he ensured that the people would not rebel. If a people have moved, and now they have to get accustomed to new terrain, so they don't have the home court advantage. If they want to rebel, They don't know all the secret hiding places. You grow up in a country, you know where to hide, you know where the best points of attack, you know where the weak points are. You're in a good position to attack. Secondly, you grow up in a country, you want to defend your country. There's loyalty, there's patriotism. Once you move, the next generation is going to be faithful to Sanherib. By exiling everyone, what he did was, he forced them all to accept his regime. And not only that, there was less of an inclination on behalf of the people to rebel, and the people were working so hard to remain alive, because they didn't know the terrain. Suddenly they're being allotted a new land, they have to figure out how to make that land produce food. So they're being challenged intellectually, physically, they don't have the time to regroup and to rebel against him. But you can imagine what a miserable place the world was under Sanherib. People suddenly had to move long. You talk about a death march. They had to travel, sometimes for a half a year, until he brought them to another country. Then they'd have to settle down there. Suddenly they discovered there were new diseases in that country. We find the people that came and settled Israel when he exiled the northern 10 tribes were being attacked by wild lions. They didn't know how to deal with these lions. No one in Israel beforehand had problems with lions. So the people were miserable. He made the world a very miserable place. Chazal tell us this pasuk that we just read, pasuk Yud Gimel, Vasil Givulot Amim, I removed the boundaries of nations. Sanherib was not exaggerating. The Talmud tells us, it's a brisa, that the rabbis were sitting and studying, and a ger came, a Mitzri ger, a convert from the Egyptians, came and asked, may I marry into the Jewish people? And Rabbi Gamliel says, no. And Rabbi Yoshua says, yes. So Rabbi Gamliel asks him, well, how do you say yes? So he quoted him this pasuk. He says to him, we don't have any more Ammonites, Moabites, or Egyptians. All the mitzvot pertaining to the Ammonites, Moabites, and Egyptians, well, you don't have them anymore, because the Egyptians no longer live in Egypt. He exiled all the Egyptians. He exiled the Ammonites, the Moabites. So it's over. You have a mitzvah which you can't apply, because there's no more Egyptian people. He changed that. Sanherib. When Sanherib exiled and confused the whole world, what Sanherib accomplished halachically was that we no longer have these mitzvot. We don't know who's an Ammonite, a Moabite, a Mitzri. We can't know anymore. Everyone's intermarried. Everyone's traveled. It's over. So we can't apply it. Just a second.
What period of time in history are we talking about?
We're talking about the destruction of the first temple.
You know, it reminds me of the original, when Yosef, with the Mitzrayim, that was protecting Paro. Once people are in a different place, they use, as you said, you struggle to survive. You don't have the... You're not
going to
rebel, transfer populations. I mean, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask if this also is applying to
Amalek. Generally, yes.
Who's definitely Amalek?
We don't know, do we today?
We don't know who is Amalek because of this, but...
Amalek and Yosher Baret.
Ma?
Is that Amalek and Yosher Baret?
Well... Then, the question is, what's now?
Then I have a question, because the other, the Moabites and the Mitzrayim and the Ammonites, we don't have a mitzvah to remember what they did to us and to wipe their name from the earth. And I understand that, you know, the confusion that happened, you know, the Ammonites were probably affected and moved somewhere else and around, and, you know, intertwined within just the nations, the club. But we have a mitzvah even to this day to remember what they did and to wipe out their memory. Meaning that, to a degree, maybe we just don't know the details of it now, but to a degree, this can't apply to the Amaleki.
Right, right. That's why we don't know who Amalek is. We don't know who they are now. So we have a problem. That there is someone out there who's Amalek. We don't know who they are.
Do you have a prophet to tell us?
It would seem that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't
you have
Solovejic as a son?
That what? I'm unaware of that.
Okay.
I don't know. So Hashem turns to Sanheiriv and says, Hayit pa'er ha-garzein al-ha-chotzev bo. Do you ever find an axe turning to the person who's using it and saying, look at me? Im yitgadel ha-masor al-menifo. Does a saw ever turn to the person who's using it back and forth and say, I'm much bigger than you are? Kehanif shevet et merimav kearim mateh lo'etz. When you have a staff that's being used to hit, does he say, look at me, I'm the one that's swinging around in the world? Kearim mateh lo'etz. As though the stick can carry itself, as though it wasn't really a piece of wood. And again, this is concluding, going back to the metaphor that he began with. You are but a stick. I am the one wielding you. How come you take such pride in your strength? And so Hashem says, if this is your attitude, I'll show you what I'll do to you. And that's where we'll pick up Bezat Hashem next week.